Gary Parrish. It's Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and we're now just 1 week away from the start of the season. That comes next Tuesday. Norlander and I both going to be in New York City for the Champions Classic. It's going to be number one Michigan State versus number two Kentucky, number three Kansas versus number four Duke. And how about this? We're going to preview those games on Sunday's podcast. Yes, Sunday's podcast, because we're going to start doing three podcasts a week next week, and that's going to be the case through the end of the season. Already looking forward to it. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please go subscribe to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast via Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Yes, it helps us when you do that, but it also helps you if you dig us, because it's the best way to ensure you're going to get the latest episode sent to your phone as soon as possible. So please go do that. And while you're doing that, we're going to dive straight into the story of the day in college sports, and that's that the NCAA Board of Governors has voted unanimously to allow student athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. But this is not quite SB 206 in California. Norlander, before I rant and make incredible points, I'll let you explain what happened. So please tell all of your fans out there exactly what the NCAA did today.
I know you're revved up on this because saw you on CBS Sports HQ today.
I was there.
Laying it out terrifically with Tommy Tran. And I know you spoke about this on your radio show, and I know you're revved up and ready to go again here on the podcast in a long form fashion. I'll try and be succinct before I hand it over to you, and then we'll kind of volley back and forth on our thoughts here. Tuesday, October 29th was to be the big day. In recent weeks, there was an expectation that the NCAA's working group, most notably headed up by Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith, Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman, who have been together with a number of other administrators at the college level since May discussing this in some capacity, and probably with increased intensity over the past month, obviously, with all that's happened in the state of California and elsewhere, about what they could proposed to the NCAA's Board of Governors, which is its supreme voting body. Everything that becomes an NCAA law has to get the clearance of the Board of Governors before it does so. So, as I said in the podcast and written elsewhere, and as you and plenty of others in the media have been expecting, this was supposed to be the meeting in Atlanta where the working group was going to bring about some recommendations to the Board of Governors. That is not what happened, and that is disappointing. Instead, behind closed doors, the working group met with the Board of Governors and presented what I can only imagine is the reality around the name, image, and likeness issue as it pertains to the NCAA, as it pertains to state and federal lawmakers, as it pertains to the temperature of how the public perceives this. We have now had official polls done, nationwide polls, where the general public is indisputably in favor for more empowerment in this regard with college athletes. And so instead of having specific legislation and bylaw proposals, what we got was a statement saying the Board of Governors unanimously has voted in favor of updating our model when it comes to name, image, and likeness allowability, but it stopped short of providing real tangible action. And so that obviously got people, yourself and myself included, a bit fired up over what we did not see. Going forward, the timeline that's critical to know here is after the Final Four in April, the Board of Governors will convene again. It is then that the working group, the leaders at the Division I, II, and III level will come up with what they believe will be the most logical and practical set of bylaws to enable this to happen. It was a significant moment on Tuesday. I didn't think that it would be this unanimous, we need to do this. I actually thought they went a little bit further in terms of their statement than I thought they were going to, but I also thought we were going to get some semblance of tangible action going forward. That was disappointing to see how that wasn't the case, although we shouldn't be totally surprised, as you and I both know, GP. Our colleague Dennis Dodd got a hold of some of those folks in advance of the statement, and that's when we learned that there was, we shouldn't be expecting headlines that were too big. But regardless, it was not an insignificant day on Tuesday for the history of college athletics.
Not an insignificant day, but is it reasonable to say not as significant as some people initially thought? Because I thought the NCAA, they're really good at this type of thing. They wanted to create a headline, and they created a headline. And the way that the initial tweet that gets hit retweet a million times is like, the NCAA Board of Governors votes unanimously, that always sounds great, to allow student athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And people are like, "Woo, wow, finally, this thing is happening." And then you're like, well, let me click this link and read more about it. And then you read more about it, and it's basically like, the NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously to allow student athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness, but not in this way, and not in this way, and we're not going to go for that, and we're not going to go for that. And so they put so many guidelines, or going to try to keep so many guidelines in place that it doesn't open this up nearly as much as I would want, a lot of people would want, California lawmakers would want. And I really do think, and we can get into this momentarily, it creates more issues that they'll have to deal with that they don't deal with now. And I don't want to say it's impossible, because I get frustrated when I hear NCAA officials say something is impossible. I'm like, it's not impossible. We'll figure it out. So perhaps it's not impossible, but it does seem very, very difficult to try to thread this needle that they want to thread. We want to allow student athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness rights like any other student athlete, but this won't stand, this won't stand, this won't stand. And I personally can't figure out how you can make all that work. Maybe you can, but even Gene Smith, I thought this was interesting, the Ohio State Athletic Director, Dan Walken, our friend who works at USA Today, was in Atlanta at these meetings. And even Gene Smith, when asked by Dan, how are you going to allow student athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness, but not have this turn into a recruiting tool of some sort? And Gene actually said, yeah, that's the elephant in the room. Very hard to figure out. And so, like I tweeted, good luck. If this is the path you're going down, good luck. Cause it's a needle that's difficult to thread.
Yeah. But I mean, Gene Smith is not incorrect in what he's saying there, but for decades, this has existed in college athletics in terms of recruiting imbalances and advantages. I will not sing this song with you again, Parrish, on the podcast, because we don't need to go down that road. But I do have good news, because you know what? The consternation, the backlash, the cynicism, the skepticism toward the NCAA that was just put on display about, I don't know, like 45 minutes after this press release got sent out. I actually thought at one point we were about 20 minutes away from media members going to, actually, the NCAA announced today that college athletes wouldn't even be allowed to accept scholarships. Like, the blowback actually got a little bit over the top. But here's what. Guess what? So Walken talks to Mark Emmert, okay? And Mark Emmert admits on the record, here's the exact quote. There's no question the legislative efforts in Congress and various states has been a catalyst to change. It's clear that schools and the presidents are listening and have heard loud and clear that everyone agrees that this is an area that needs to be addressed. That combined with this quote from California Governor Gavin Newsom, who released a statement after all this came down, he said, in part, California will be closely watching as the NCAA's process moves forward to ensure the rules ultimately adopted are aligned with the legislation we passed this year. You know what? If the NCAA Parrish can't get its bylaws to a level that are going to satisfy the public, that's one thing. But if it can't get there to a level that it can satisfy the politicians, that's another. And the good news is, this is my prediction. I don't see how it doesn't wind up this way. It might take 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. Parrish, we're getting there, okay? You can have cynicism over what the NCAA won't do. I get that. Politicians are going to make sure this happens. And if it and the last step might be significant court battles, maybe even at the Supreme Court level. But I spoke with a congressman out of North Carolina today who expressed to me supreme disappointment in the lack of detail here from the NCAA, and also expressed a real intent desire to get legislation on the House floor in the summer of 2020 so that this can all be enacted and ratified by January of 2021. Now, to be clear, GP, there we have a long way to go with this, and getting to the House floor is no gimme. Then it has to clear through the Senate, and then it's going to need the president's signature to become law. But my long view on this is, if we get to April and the NCAA is saying, all right, we're going to allow A, B, C, and D and not allow E, F, and G, I ultimately think that will be immaterial, because I think at the federal level, most importantly, because the state level, this is also going down. The NCAA is not going to have a situation, GP, where we have 12 states enacting all of this stuff, allowing it, and then it's going to really, GP, is the NCAA going to go to 12 different states and say all you schools are banned from postseason play? That's its nightmare. That's not going to happen. So I do think, while people might have issues with their own politicians and government, this is really close to a bipartisan issue at that level as well, and that's what ultimately will force the NCAA's hand. I have issues in the short term with what the NCAA will and won't do, but I think long term, Emmert admitted today that what has been done in California hastened this issue. Why shouldn't we believe that it will hasten it again and ultimately be the decider, not the NCAA, when it comes to national oversight and a consistency of rules?
I understand why the North Carolina congressman would be frustrated by the lack of details, because they've had months to work on this. You ranked 353 basketball teams and wrote about each one in a matter of weeks.
So true.
Maybe we need to put you in charge of this. Like, you seem to be able to churn out more work more quickly than them. I think a combination of you and Kyle Boone could get this thing knocked out. I get the frustration. And I thought it was interesting, the tweet from Nancy Skinner today. She, of course, is the state senator from California. So she reads what the NCAA releases, and they have put, undeniably, as she points out, arbitrary limits or regulations in place. Like, they don't have their details yet, but they have sort of already said, here's what we're not going to allow. And Nancy Skinner just popped up and said, the state of California has made it clear. We will not stand for any arbitrary limits on student athletes being able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. So this is a point I've made on previous podcasts. It doesn't matter that the NCAA is taking a step forward. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but if your step forward doesn't get you in line with California law and future Florida law and other laws around this country, you still got the same, essentially the same issues you were going to have if you just stood still. Because think of it this way. If you need $100 to buy something, it costs $100. That's what it costs. You got to have $100 to pay for it. Right now, you got zero. Okay, so you ain't even close. And somehow, some way, you figure out it, and you got 40. You got 40 bucks. So you're like, listen, I'm further along than I was yesterday. I got 40 bucks, but you still ain't you still can't get done what you need to get done. You ain't close to 100 yet. And so, the way I concluded my column is that unless the NCAA is willing to go as far as whatever the farthest state law goes, we're going to end up in court. And that's inevitably where this is headed. I don't know if it's the Supreme Court, but I certainly could envision it being that. But it seems to me there is no scenario where we don't end up in court, because the NCAA has hammered home the idea that we cannot have different states operating under different rules. And yet the states are pushing back, and they've got, like, the popular opinion on their side. Mm-hmm. They're pushing back and saying, we're not budging for you. We're not waiting on you. We're going to do what we're going to do, and if you got a problem with it, we'll see you in court. And so today is a significant day in the sense that it is, for the first time ever, the NCAA saying, we will allow student athletes to accept benefits in exchange for their name, image, and likeness rights. But they're not going as far as lawmakers want them to go, at which point we still got real problems.
Did you see El Camino on Netflix, the Breaking Bad movie?
Of course.
Okay, so to your $100 point, I won't spoil this for listeners that maybe have seen it, but the best scene in the movie is when Jesse Pinkman needs a certain amount of money, and he's almost there. You know what I'm talking about? And he's not quite
10,000 more or something like that.
That's exactly what you're talking about. So that's what came to mind when you're bringing up your $100 analogy. The one thing that I want to keep an eye on here is when Congressman Mark Walker out of North Carolina, he told me that the NCAA's presence in D.C. with its lobbying is not insignificant. There is a real presence there, and the thing to watch, I guess, in the coming months will be if the NCAA can successfully, and I don't know how successful it's been to this point, but if it can successfully try and undercut what is being done at the federal level, because it's I believe, Parrish, I believe its hope is to do that, so that Mark Walker's bill, and his isn't the only one. There's actually another one that is in the works here, okay? It never even gets to the floor of the House of Representatives, and then instead the NCAA is taking on all these states, and it might feel like it could have more control over this. I tell you, it's damn fascinating, though, because the NCAA is trying to do this almost in spite of everything it believes in, when really... Really, Parrish, like, college athletes having just the right to earn benefits and profits off of their abilities, like, it's a simple and American concept, and it's one that the NCAA has tried to complicate for essentially its entire existence, and so now it's trying to step forward into the 21st century, and I don't see... short of like just going beyond anyone's expectations, I just don't see how what is going to happen in the next 4 months ultimately really matters. That's really what I came down. Like, I just don't see how this doesn't get overruled in terms of lawmakers eventually. We already have California getting us to this point. What happened? Illinois' governor, GP, earlier today introduced another set of legislation in his own state. So. I don't know. The NCAA is just, this is a moment that has been long overdue, okay? And I do want to hear some more of your ranting if you got it. But to me, it just, I just don't see how the politicians don't just change this for good. It's just going to, it's a matter of how long that timeline takes.
No, let me tell you exactly how this is going to go. Right now, we've got California. They're out there. Their bill is passed. They've got a law getting ready to be put in place. And the people who were behind that bill getting passed are on the record within 30 minutes of the NCAA announcing stuff today saying, this ain't enough. This ain't good enough. So, like, we're still going to do what we're going to do. So, again, in theory, January 1st, 2023, a UCLA point guard is going to be allowed to accept money in exchange for his name, image, and likeness without limitations. And it will be against the law, literally the law, for UCLA to do anything about it. And if the NCAA tries to come in and do something about it and tell UCLA you can't play that player or you're going to be ineligible or you're going to have to vacate, then California lawmakers have said, we will see you in court. And that ain't changing. They're not budging. They're on the right side of this. So there's no reason for them to back up. They've made no indication they'll back up. In fact, they insist they will not. So that's that. Now, I don't know which states are going to be next, but Florida, Carolina, Florida, Illinois. Yeah. It doesn't matter. There's going to be more. And the states are going to go further than the NCAA is at this moment willing to go. And then it's going to come down to exactly what you said. It's going to come down to a game of chicken. It's going to come down to blink. You really going to start saying all North Carolina schools are banned from the NCAA?
That's not happening.
There's not happening, but that is the threat.
It is.
It's not happening, but you're right. And so it either happens, at which point now we're in court, we got big lawsuits, or it doesn't happen, and then the NCAA is doing exactly what NCAA officials and college administrators are saying is, quote, impossible. And that means they're suddenly operating a national organization with different states using different rules. So, like, I'll bottom line it this way. Unless the NCAA is willing to go even way further than they went today, this is really not a mess that is cleaned up by anything that the NCAA is going to do. In fact, it just gets messier. But here's the point I wanted to make. Let's say for a second, and again, neither one of us believe this is true, mm-hmm. but let's say for a second the NCAA actually got their way. Like they said, hey, here's what we're willing to do, exactly what we described today. We're going to do, which is allow student athletes to benefit from name, image, and likeness rights, but with parameters, but with guidelines. And the states just say, you know what? We'll stay out of it. Do your thing. One of the things the NCAA has said is that it will allow student athletes to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness, but it will prevent them from accepting inducements to, quote, select, remain at, or transfer to a specific institution. All right. Now, those are two things that they're saying, we're going to do this, but we're not going to do this. How do you match those things up? How can you make that work? How can you thread that needle? Because here's the hypothetical I threw out on Twitter. And Kentucky fans got furious because I used Kentucky.
Then use freaking.
I'll use Duke just to even it out. Sure. But it is hilarious. If I would have used Duke, Kentucky fans would have been like, "We're the biggest program in America. Why didn't you use us?" Like, I'm trying to use you. You're mad about everything. So okay, fine. It's Duke. Here's a hypothetical that we get. NCAA changes its guidelines, and the state lawmakers say, "Okay, cool. We're out of it. You win, we lose, we'll stay out of it." That's not going to happen, but play along. A banker in Durham, North Carolina, who's also a Duke fan, he signs the Duke point guard, whoever it is at the time, to a deal to be on billboards to advertise for the bank, to be in commercials to advertise for the bank, and he does all this for a not insignificant amount of money. Then the NCAA steps in. And by the way, they probably wouldn't because it's Duke, but again, play along. The NCAA steps in and says, "Hey, listen, we see what you're doing, but we don't think you really want this point guard to advertise your bank as much as you are trying to prevent this point guard, give him a good reason to maybe stay in school another year as opposed to enter the NBA draft. Or maybe this point guard was thinking about transferring for whatever reason. We think you're really just trying to prevent him from transferring." And then the banker comes in and says, "No, I'm not. I have a bank. We have a lot of Duke fans who bank with us. We think it would be beneficial to have the Duke point guard as a spokesperson for us. That's all we're doing. Exactly what you said we would be allowed to do when you announced it back on October 29th, 2019. And then the NCAA says, "Nah, we don't think that. We don't believe you. We think this is essentially a pay-for-play scheme." Now what? How do you resolve that?
It's not resolvable.
It's not resolvable because you cannot legislate intent. You cannot legislate the intent. You cannot accurately figure out what that banker's motivation is. Is he really just trying to do what you said he would be allowed to do? Or is he actually trying to pay the Duke point guard to stay at Duke, which is something the NCAA today said they will not allow to happen? I don't know how you figure that out. You think people are bitching about transfer waivers all the time?
No.
Wait till this happens.
Oh, yeah.
Wait till a Duke booster puts a Duke point guard on a billboard for $10,000, and the NCAA says, "Yeah, that's cool." And then an NC State booster tries to put a point guard on a billboard for $12,000, and they say, no, that's pay for play. It doesn't even work. And when you took it to Gene Smith, the Ohio State athletic director, who I actually like, but who is somewhat in charge of this and has had months to deal with it, when you ask him this very basic question, which is, "Gene, so you're saying," and this is Dan Wolkin asking the question, not me, "Gene, you're saying you're going to allow student athletes to do this. You're going to allow this thing to happen, but you will not allow this thing to happen. How do you make that work?" And he's like, "I don't know, it's a tough one." It's no good answer because there's not a good answer.
And the NCAA shouldn't be running from that reality anyway. I just think it's way too much hand-wringing, way too much consternation, way too much fear over something that ultimately should be normalized at the college level. This is a billion-dollar enterprise. I'll bring up this, though, just to stay on this topic here. So Dane O'Neill with The Athletic got Mark Emmert and Ohio State President Michael Drake, who was actually quoted in the NCAA's release today. He's on the Board of Governors. She got both of them for a quick Q&A here, and I'll read, just bear with me for a minute here. I will read Dana's question, and you had Drake and Emmert responding specifically regarding this kind of thing. I actually thought their answers, while not, you know, completely enlightening, were a bit helpful, because I think this specific thing that we're talking about is one of the biggest issues of concern for the NCAA. So Dana says, "I offered a hypothetical situation. Quarterback X from school Y has a great season, and a car dealership wants to pay him $50,000 to endorse its cars. Is that okay?" The short answer, doubtful. The long answer, and Drake responds, "From our point of view, we imagine there will be a range of interactions and relationships." Oh, God, you gotta love it. Continuing the quote, "Some will be straightforward and easy. If you were a guitar player while in high school and you keep it up," and just hold on. Oh my God. If you were a guitar player in high school and you keep it up, GP, I'm a guitar player. I'm keeping it up. And it doesn't affect your work on the lacrosse team. That's easy. Cool stuff, man. Continuing the quote, there will be others that are more problematic where it looks more like compensation for pay to play in a different form of currency. That's the challenge. And then Emmert says, in your hypothetical, the working group has said, look, that's the end of the continuum of name, image, and likeness, and it's the most challenging and difficult to regulate. They didn't say, no, never go there, but only go there if you can come up with a regulatory regime. Otherwise, it's pay for play and some other guys. We can get into the semantics, which I won't, but at least Mark Emmert is saying, we are keeping the potential open to discuss putting some sort of regulations around that kind of situation, which honestly, the fact that Emmer said that surprised me.
The whole thing is just it's like they didn't know anything about this topic until today, and then they had to answer questions about it. it's like you're the people who are supposed to be working on this. How do you not have good answers for these questions?
The concerning thing is when Drake intimates that if you play, if you're a starter for the Utah Utes and you've got a great music career, you can play the drums, you can rap, you can do whatever, and you want to make money off of that, we're cool with it. But if you want to receive $5,000 for, potentially receiving money for having your jersey sold or for putting your likeness on a local business, we're going to resist that. Again, that is a half measure, and that is just simply not going to fly. The people in charge of this stuff have to realize that if they actually come out with that kind of – if they come out with those kind of proposals, I really want to believe that they won't. But if you go and say that an athlete can make money off of something that is a hobby – I mean, get out – to quote you, GP, or to paraphrase you, like, get out of my face with that, because that's an absolute joke. So
it's so ridiculous. And then, like, okay, let's pretend that they go there. And, by the way, going there does nothing because the lawmakers will just push back and it gets you nowhere. But let's say they just go there. So then what do? We go, hey, young man, you're a four-star recruit. can you start a SoundCloud account and start rapping every once in a while? And then we'll just get you a –
yes.
A name and likeness deal to, because you're a quote rapper. I mean, what are we talking about? It's crazy. Like, what they wanted to do, this is what they always do. What they wanted to do is create the impression that we're doing something, but what they're doing isn't sensible given what's happening in California and other states. And it really is just, look, I don't want to say I don't understand it. I do understand it. We're talking about tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And for the longest time, the people who are controlling the money right now, all of it, have been controlling the money. And if they go as far as California lawmakers and other state lawmakers want them to go, suddenly they're not controlling all the money anymore. And they're hesitant to give up on that. If not unwilling to give up on that. And let me be clear, if I were one of the dudes controlling all the money, I might be trying to make the same nonsensical arguments that they're making, but I hope they understand they are nonsensical arguments, and what they did today might get them some nice headlines somewhere, but it is not going to solve the issues that are in front of them. Mark Emmert said recently that this issue, name, image, and likeness rights, is the biggest issue he's faced in his decade of being the NCAA president. And I guess I would argue this. Nothing about that got easier for him today.
Nothing at all. And as we move forward, if you're curious, concerned, excited, however you want to describe it, about like, okay, so are you dudes going to be talking about this stuff 2 weeks from now when the season's going? Actually, I don't. Short of Mark Emmert issuing public comments on it that warrant reaction, or Gene Smith or Val Ackerman speaking on it in the midst of all this, we might not really touch on this in terms of having new information for another 6 months, which The only way that we would get into it is if and when you see state legislations, legislatures get back into session in January. And then, you know, if we look up on January 20th and we've got 27 states doing this, then, yeah, that's a significant significant advance with the story and a significant event. But from the NCAA level, I just don't think so. But I do. I'll wrap it with this, GP. I do find it hilarious that just a few weeks ago you had Mark Emmert writing notes threatening California with its schools potentially facing postseason bans and completely upending the integrity of the collegiate model. And then this statement gets put out today and Emmert's like, I completely agree with the Board of Governors. Like, it's, you know, it's better than him actually outright publicly opposing what his Board of Governors did. But it is quite the tenor change. Even if it didn't go far enough for most people, I get that. But what Mark Emmert was quoted as saying in an official statement capacity and on the record to reporters is not the same as what he was saying 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
And yet still, it appears to me the truth is this. The NCAA has two actual options. One is to go way further than this and meet California wherever California wants to meet. Perhaps in Temecula.
Yeah.
Or try to fight it out in court and win. And I wouldn't rule that out, by the way. Like, but that is – they're not going to be able to win this with press releases and with on-the-record comments and with vague or not vague threats. That's not working anymore. They're going to have to either do what the state lawmakers are telling them to do, or they're going to have to try to win this in court. Do you see any other real option?
No. No, and I think that if they go to court, they will lose. My expectation and prediction is that when you look at how court cases in recent years have sided, particularly with the case of Ed O'Bannon, not entirely. The NCAA hasn't been taking big L after big L, but they were induced to allow for cost of attendance stipends for players. I think as society has progressed and people really understand how much money is behind college athletics, and while acknowledging, by the way, that players do get plenty, that's fine. They're just deserving of the opportunity. Again, I don't care if four players make $4,000 and we find out that no one else is making any money. I don't care. Just give them the opportunity to do so. What are we so afraid of? But I think that if it gets to that court level, which is definitely a possibility if the NCAA refuses to swallow its pride here, I like the player, the student-athlete's chances in the long run of actually winning out and getting a set of bylaws that are close to, if not exactly, what California and other states are trying to enact.
The point you made there is a point that I've made before. You know, every once in a while you get somebody, it's usually on Twitter, and they'll say, these student-athletes don't deserve to get paid $10,000 extra or $50,000 extra. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. And the point I've always made is I have never said, literally never, that any student-athlete deserves any amount of money. They just deserve the opportunity to accept whatever amount of money somebody is willing to give them, like every other student athlete on campus throughout this country. If it's nothing, cool. It's fine with me. If it's a little bit, fine with me. If it's more than I'll ever actually make in my own career, that is also fine with me. Nobody deserves a specific amount of anything. They just deserve the opportunity to accept it. And that's what state lawmakers in California are asking the NCAA to do, demanding the NCAA to do. And no matter what anybody tries to tell you, the NCAA didn't go anywhere close to that today.
I agree. Before we tease the Sunday podcast and the return of 3 a week, check this out.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
Okay, GP, we are returning on Sunday with three times a week pods. Super psyched for it. I know the listeners are going to be ready for it, and we are happy to be back in your lives three times a week. So we're going to preview Champions Classic and then maybe look ahead, do some season-long prediction stuff in terms of Champions. Maybe reveal our final four picks. How about that, maybe?
Okay, nice preview. On the Sunday podcast, yes, we will get into the Champions Classic because I genuinely am looking forward to that. And it has gotten to the point I've forever been talking about, November 5th. Yeah, can't wait for November 5th. Like, now it's like, can't wait for next Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, we're like you know, can't, and by the time most people are listening to this, it'll be like Wednesday.
Yeah.
So people, like, it'll be, you know, Tuesday. Like, we'll be in New York on Monday, and we're going to be all over CBS Sports HQ on Monday. We'll have post-game CBS Sports HQ content for you. And then we will – the plan is to record, yes, on Sunday previewing, but then on Tuesday night after it's all over with, live from Madison Square Garden – not really live, we're going to tape it – live the tape from Square Garden, Norlander and I will record another episode of the CBS Sports Island College Basketball Podcast. But first things first, be back here on Sunday. That's when we'll preview the Champions Classic, and we will look at the betting odds to win the national championship. What are good values? What are not good values? And also, DraftKings has posted regular season win total over-unders for most of the prominent teams in college basketball. Could be all the prominent teams. Could be every team in college basketball. I don't really know. But I got a list of 12 right in front of me right now. And so we'll get into those, maybe go through it. And see if we can guess the overs or the unders on some of the best, expected to be best basketball teams in the country. So that'll all be Sunday. And in the meantime, shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M.F. Antigo. He's the legend. Shouts to my homie Larnell. Oh, Larnell's boy DeAndre Ayton got suspended. You
he
see
did.
That?
Yeah, 25 games. I know that because I actually have DeAndre Ayton on my fantasy NBA team. So loving having DeAndre Ayton and Paul George, neither of whom are available. So, yeah,
it's just, I fundamentally believe Larnell would not allow this.
I don't know if you were not around Twitter, but I tweeted that. I said if Larnell was still in the picture, this ain't happening. DeAndre Ayton's not getting popped for anything if Larnell's not in the picture. If Larnell's in the picture, but Larnell's not in the picture, he got phased out.
When Larnell was in the picture, DeAndre Ayton went to Arizona and never didn't play.
That's right.
He's got every coach he had getting arrested, getting fired, getting accused of everything. DeAndre Ayton's still out there getting 22-11. Larnell protected that boy.
And now look what happened.
Now you're like, I don't need Larnell anymore. Okay, cool. Sit out the next 25 games, DeAndre Ayton. Maybe catch up with Larnell while you're busy not playing basketball. So, shouts to Larnell. Appreciate everything you did back in the day. And please, go subscribe to the Island College Basketball Podcast via Apple Podcast. Rate it favorably. 5 stars, nice comments. And, again, we're going to talk to you on Sunday. Until then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.